Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Something Strange, Someone Wicked. I just want to take a second and say thank you to all of my listeners. I appreciate each and every one of you. Also, I recently set up a Patreon page where patrons will get access to exclusive content and experiences. So please, if you have a second, go check that out at patreon.com/somethingstrangesomeonewicked. Today, I'm talking about the Yuba County 5, also known to some as the American Dyatlov Pass incident. Anyone who's interested in the mysterious, strange, or unexplained has probably heard about the Dyatlov Pass incident in Russia. If you haven't heard about it, go listen to my first episode, because I cover that story there, and it's definitely worth listening to. This story, though, took place in Yuba City, California, nearly 20 years after the Dyatlov Pass incident in Russia, and there are some similar circumstances. On February 24, 1978, five men, Gary Mathias, Jack Hewitt, William Sterling, Ted Wire, and Jack Madruga, drove 40 miles to Chico in Jack's Mercury Montego to watch a basketball game. After the game, they stopped three blocks away at a Bears Market to buy some snacks and soda. They then drove south out of Chico and disappeared, never to be seen alive again. All five men had mental issues of varying sorts, but that didn't mean that they were unable to function in society. All of the men were aged between 24 and 32 years old. And all five men lived at home with their families. Ted's mother woke up the next morning and noticed that her son hadn't returned home. Quickly, the families of all five men realized that none of them had returned home from the previous night. The police were called and they immediately launched an investigation. A few days later, on February 28th, they located the car the men had traveled in that night. The Montego was located around a 2.5-hour drive from Chico in the opposite direction from the route they would have normally taken to get home. It was way up in the mountains in the Plumas National Forest. The car wasn't stuck in the snow, it was fully functional and had plenty of gas still in the tank, but there was no sign of any of the missing men. Forest rangers searched the area for 5 days and found no trace of the men. Soon after the search began, a severe blizzard moved into the area. 9 inches of snow dropped on the upper mountains, and the search had to be called off until the thaw. A man named Joseph Shawns contacted the police after he heard about the disappearance to say that he had seen the men between 11 and 12 p.m. on the Friday night that they had gone missing. Joseph said he was driving up the gravel road to his cabin when his car got stuck in the snow, and while trying to push the car out, he suffered a heart attack. This was later confirmed by a doctor's examination. So he climbed back in the car and waited. While inside the car, he heard whistling noises and saw what he thought were a group of men walking around in the lights of another vehicle's headlights. Joseph called out to them for help, and the lights turned off and the whistling sound stopped. A few hours later, he saw flashlight beams outside his car and called out for help again, but immediately the lights went out. That would scare the hell out of me, and I would have another heart attack. That is creepy. Joseph stayed in his car until it ran out of gas, then walked 8 miles down to get help, passing Madruga's car on the way. He didn't think much about what happened that night until he heard about the disappearances, and then he put two and two together. So 4 months later, in June of 1978, a man riding his motorcycle through the area noticed a broken window on a Forest Service trailer. Inside the trailer, he found the body of Ted Ware. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize. This trailer was located 19 miles up the mountain from where the car was found. 19 miles in heavy snow is quite a hike, especially without proper clothing and equipment. Most of the men just had jackets They were not dressed for cold weather. So Ted was found in the unheated ranger cabin. He was shoeless and lying on a mattress. 8 sheets had been pulled over his body and wrapped around him. Ted had 2 to 3 months' growth of beard on his face, had lost nearly 100 pounds, was badly frostbitten, and had died of starvation, despite the fact that the cabin held enough food to keep all 5 men alive for a year. There was no sign a fire had been built for warmth, although there were plenty of matches and flammable objects lying around. And an exterior propane tank that would have filled the cabin with heat was never used. Within a few weeks, the skeletal remains of Madruga and Sterling were discovered about 8 miles from the trailer. They laid on opposite sides of the road to the trailer. Madruga had been partially eaten by animals, and there was nothing left of Sterling but bones that had been scattered in a wooded area. 2 days later, off the same road, but much closer to the trailer, they found Hewitt's skull and backbone. Northwest of the trailer, about 1/4 mile away, searchers found 3 wool forest blankets and a flashlight lying by the side of the road. They found no sign of Gary Mathias, but his tennis shoes were found inside the trailer, suggesting to investigators that he may have taken them off to put on Ted's leather shoes. Although the men's bodies were badly decomposed, autopsy results determined that they had likely died from exposure. So why did these men end up on this mountain that night? How did they end up at the trailer, 19 miles from the car? There's a whole bunch of theories, and so we might as well get into those now. Authorities later discovered that a snow-capped vehicle had pushed snow aside to cut a path towards the trailer on February 23rd, which may have given the men some hope that they were in an area where Forest Service employees might return soon. So they think they saw that the snow was pushed aside and decided to follow that path and see where it led, because maybe somebody would return soon and help them. There was also the theory that Mathias convinced the group to head towards Forbestown, an area between Chico and the mountain road, so that he could visit a friend who lived there. It's possible that Madruga had missed the turnoff and got lost, driving deeper into the darkness. A year after their disappearance, police were no closer to solving the mystery. There was never any answers for their strange decision to turn toward unfamiliar territory. Ted had walked nearly 20 miles to the trailer in frigid conditions, despite having left his coat at home. None of the men thought to walk downhill and instead walked up the unfamiliar path ahead. Police never ruled out foul play, and neither did the families. Melba Madruga, Jack's mother, told the Washington Post that she believed some force had led the group astray. "We know good and well somebody made them do it," she said. It was impossible for her to believe that her son would ever drive his car, which he loved, into an area where it might get damaged. "I'm positive he never went up there on his own," she told the paper. "He was either tricked or threatened." Ted's sister-in-law has theorized that the men may have seen something take place at the basketball game that they shouldn't have seen, and it prompted someone to chase them. Police were never able to establish evidence of pursuit, but no one can shake the idea that the men seemed to be determined to move forward. Why do that unless something more frightening was right behind them? Another theory, and the one that I think is the most plausible, is that Gary Mathias, the one man still missing, was involved in the other men's deaths. Gary was a diagnosed schizophrenic, and he had a criminal record. Maybe he chose not to take his medication that night to avoid the side effects of drowsiness, lethargy, and dizziness, and inadvertently brought his friends out to their deaths on a schizophrenia-induced adventure. Maybe he's still alive today. About 3 weeks after they went missing, a Yuba City woman named Debbie Lynn Reese received a phone call from a man who said, "I know where the missing 5 men are," and then hung up. The man called back the next day and said, "I need help because I really hurt those guys bad." When Debbie asked, "Who did you hurt?" he replied, "Don't play dumb with me," and hung up. There was one more call the next day. "Those five guys are all dead," he said, and then hung up. Kind of creepy. Could have been Gary. Most of the investigators didn't believe Matthias was responsible. They said he didn't have access to his medication all this time, and they knew that he couldn't stay out of trouble when he wasn't taking his medication. And so they figured he would have eventually shown up somewhere if he was still alive. One investigator, though, said those men were either forced or manipulated. And where does Matthias come into that? Maybe he had nothing to do with it. We'll never know. But I think he did it. "Bizarre as hell," was one investigator's summary. To date, there hasn't been any evidence to contradict him. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check back next week for another episode of Something Strange, Someone Wicked.